We're only going to send you out in twos or threes, she said. Wouldn't want to kill you all at once.
Wouldn't want to kill you all at...
I jump to my feet as a doorway opens beside Dash. But you're fine. The serum didn't kill you, because you stopped it. Your Griffin ability got me out before it was too late. But whoever else was with me will still have a lethal dose of serum running through their bodies. I suck in a breath. Vi and Rin. He reaches for my hand. Come on, we've wasted enough time already. Wait, my jacket, I add, shoving one hand into the backpack and tugging my jacket free. Wait, Aurora cries. What do I do? I can't leave Imperia. Stay here, Dash tells her, pulling me into the paths. We'll return to this spot. Watch Bandit for me. What if you don't? But her protests are lost as the darkness seals itself up behind us. Chapter 21. We hurry out of the ferry paths into an icy white landscape of endless slopes and snow-dusted trees. The first thing Dash says is, "Wait, you didn't use up your Griffin power on me, did you?" Sick with worry, I manage to stutter, "No, I've still got some." I pull my jacket on and zip it all the way up. My eyes sweep across our frozen surroundings, eventually settling on a gray building just beyond the curve of a small hill. Damn it, Dash, why did they have to choose the three of you first? I know it's incredibly selfish to wish they'd picked someone else, but... Ugh! I let out an agonized cry. Why the people I care about the most? Why? Hey. He grabs my shoulders, almost stabbing me with the stylus he's still holding, and gives me a small shake. Stop freaking out. We're not too late. We'll get to them in time. He takes my hand and pulls me forward. You don't know that. We probably are too late, because the universe freaking hates me, and the only thing it's ever done is kick me in the face when I'm down. The universe has nothing to do with this. Those researchers in there picked Vi, Rin, and me because today you were their target, and since they know you have a connection to the three of us, we're the ones you're most likely to trust. How the hell do random people in a research station know who I have connections to? Dash sighs. Because they received their instructions from guild counselors, and there were several of them present on Velazar 2 when you yelled, "They're my parents." Plus, they know I'm the one who first brought you to this world. I press my lips together before muttering, "I hate the guild." Yeah, I'm not exactly the biggest fan of the whole Guardian system right now either. Just remember, it's only a few of them who are responsible for things like this. He gestures to the building we're heading for, which reminds me that anyone looking out will easily see the two figures in black hurrying toward the station. Using the deeper, magical version of my voice, I say, "Any surveillance bugs flying around outside Reinhold Research Station can't see us." Dash almost halts beside me, then quickly moves forward again. Good. Okay. He sounds somewhat surprised. Hopefully that worked. It should. It worked at Noxum. At least, I think it worked there. We were caught, but that's because they knew we were coming. I think those rooms were set to detect us the moment we walked in, regardless of whether the guards could actually see us. You've been inside Noxum? Sounds like you've got a lot to catch me up on once this is over. An image of the ruined streets and buildings around Central Park comes to mind. Yes, I say grimly. A lot. Unlike the Noxum facility, Reinhold isn't surrounded by a shield. We march right up to the imposing metal door without anything stopping us. Dash raises my stylus. They probably got a locking enchantment on here, but I can try open, I tell the door. After the sound of three clicks, the door groans quietly as it swings open. Dash blinks.
Right. I need to remember that you can actually do stuff now.
Wait. I catch his arm before he can walk forward. Then I focus on the building and say, "No surveillance bugs or devices or enchantments inside Reinhold can see or detect us. Oh, and no researchers or guardians or other guild members inside Reinhold can see or hear us." Dash looks at me with a small frown. "Do you have enough power for all these commands you're throwing around?" "I have a lot of power, Dash. The things I'm saying aren't, like, big deal things. I'm sure I have at least half my power left."
"I hope," I add silently. Perhaps I need to be more careful.
Okay, if you're sure, but I'm still going to gather some magic for a stunner spell just in case.
We step inside and find ourselves in a reception area. White desk, white chairs, a white carpet on the floor, green plants and green pots in each corner, and pictures of random green scenery on the walls. Fortunately, though, we are the only people in the room.
Do you remember any of this?
I ask, hurrying forward and looking down the corridors on either side of the room.
No. If I was brought in this way, I don't think I was conscious.
Damn it. We don't have time to go hunting for people, I mutter, heading straight for the desk. Numerous scrolls and piles of paper cover its surface. I start shuffling through pages and unrolling random scrolls, but it's pointless, of course. There's far too much information mixed up here.
Seriously? What kind of filing system is this?
Let's just go and look. I smack my palms down on the desk and glare at it.
Show me where the Griffin rebels are.
From beneath the desk itself, where I never would have looked, a scroll emerges. It comes to rest on top of the desk as it unfurls, revealing a plan of the inside of Reinhold Research Station. Bright gold dots appear inside four rooms next to each other.
There, I say, pointing at the drawing as my face flushes with the thrill of just how easy that was.
They're in these rooms.
Dash holds his stunner magic above hand and grabs the drawing with the other. He turns it, looks both ways, then says, left.
We run as quickly as we can while figuring out which turns to take and which stairs to run up. When we almost crash into a woman dressed in a lab coat, we freeze and barely breathe as we wait. But she shows no sign of having seen us as she strides past. After that, we don't bother stopping when we see anyone else. We slow down to keep our footsteps quiet, but that's it. And then, in almost no time, we've reached the first door. Every door in this corridor is unlocked, I command, before pushing my way into the first room and looking hurriedly around. Four people, asleep, sitting in partially reclined chairs that make me think for one disorienting moment of the dentist. None of them are Violet or Rin. Two seem familiar, though, so these must be Griffin rebels.
Wait, who's that?
Dash asks, pointing at the woman with deep bronze skin and orange highlighted black hair.
She isn't one of the rebels, but she...
Oh, wait. I think that's Shyla. I saw a picture in one of the reports Perry found. I can tell her to... No, crap. I have to find Vi and Rin first. I spin around without waiting for Dash's response. I charge into the next room, and there they are, Violet and Rin, still alive, and still with clouded, unseeing gazes. But something's changed since they came marching up the hillside for me. They're lurching aimlessly around the room, bumping into the two reclining chairs, turning and then bumping into the walls. Even more disturbing, their heads keep twitching. Fear clenches around my heart at the thought that I might be too late to save them. I step into the room and focus on Violet first.
Violet, the nightmare essence is...
She lunges for me, her hands stretching toward my throat. I'm so startled, I don't have time to get out of the way. Together, we crash against the door, her fingers squeezing my neck and my hands and elbows trying uselessly to shove her away. I try to gasp a command, but I can't get any words out. Over Vi's shoulder, I see Rin throwing himself after her. He lands across half her body, squashing me even further in the process. Then above me, I see Dash, his hands wrapping around the stunner magic he's been gathering and pulling it into two halves. He throws both at the same time, one at Vi and one at Rin, and they both collapse on top of me. Dash tugs their stunned bodies off me as I gasp for breath. I push myself up, coughing and clutching my neck. The moment I'm able to speak, I give my command. Violet and Rin, there is no more nightmare essence in your body. Shyla is no longer controlling your mind or your actions. I slump back against the door, sucking in another deep breath, as the remainder of my griffin power leaves my body. The same shiver that passed through Dash's body earlier ripples through Vi and Rin.
Are you okay?
Dash asks, his hand on my shoulder.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I crawl closer to Vi and Rin. When neither of them move, I carefully lift one of Violet's eyelids to see if her eyes are still clouded in white.
Normal,
I say, when I see part of her purple-blue iris. I check Rin's eyes, and he's normal, too.
Dash, why aren't they waking up? It happened almost instantly with you.
I don't know. Maybe they're still stunned? You didn't say anything about getting rid of the effects of my stunner spell, did you? I groan out a no as I sit back. I was so worried about getting the nightmare essence out of them and stopping Shyla's control. And then my griffin ability finished, so it's not like I could have added anything after that anyway.
It's finished. Are you serious? You're saying we have to get 10 unconscious people out of here without the use of your griffin ability?
I look up at him. Yes.
Freaking fluff hat, he mutters as I get to my feet. Okay, we're going to tie everyone together, get them all into the air, and direct their floating bodies out of here. Can you handle that with normal magic? It'll be a bit of a strain, levitating that many people, but I'm sure I can manage.
I can try to help, I tell him as he crouches down with a piece of sparkling guardian rope in his hands. He ties one end around Vi's wrist and the other around Rin's ankle.
If you think you can lift them, Dash says, then get them into the corridor. I'll tie up the rest of the rebels from the other three rooms.
In the time it takes me to magically lift Vi and Rin's bodies and direct them through the door and into the corridor, Dash has been into each of the other three rooms and tied the remaining griffin rebels together. Then he stands back with an expression of fierce concentration, and slowly they all float out to join us in the corridor.
Shyla as well? I ask, spotting her vibrant orange and black hair.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she didn't ask to be here. She can...
He swings his head around as an echo of hurried footsteps reaches us.
Shoot. I guess someone heard you and Vi crashing around.
Crap. And even though they can't see you and me, they'll see everyone else floating in the air.
Dash rushes to tie each of the smaller groups of people together so that we end up with a single line of 11 floating people.
Can you do shield magic? He asks.
What? No?
Okay, well, can you at least help to keep some of these people in the air? The back three or four? Then I can divert some of my magic into a shield.
That last word comes out as a startled shout. Magic flashes around us. I run to the end of the corridor where the last person is floating, noticing a slight ripple in the air around me.
Dash's shield, I hope.
By the time I reach the end of the line, the last three levitating bodies have slowly begun to drop. I push my magic out toward them, imagining it forming a layer beneath them so it can hold those three people up. Sparks ricochet against our shield and off the walls as the line of floating bodies is tugged forward. As we hurry along corridors and down the stairs, several men and women in lab coats chase us, trying with both their magic and their hands to get through our shield. When a few more appear ahead of us, hoping to block our way forward, the shield knocks them aside, which is fortunate because if we had to stop, all these unconscious bodies would fly into each other. I keep wondering why there are no guardians. Surely a place like this requires a little more security than just a locked front door. But we make it to the white and green reception area without encountering a single person with marked wrists and glittering weapons. The front door, which we left unlocked, of course, flies open when a green spark strikes it, which must mean Dash dropped the shield for a moment. I throw a glance over my shoulder and suck in a breath at the sight of the rocks hurtling toward me. The air shimmers, the rocks rebound off the shield and strike the walls, and then I'm running outside onto the snow.
"Em!" Dash yells, and I look forward again. "Run ahead of me and open a doorway!"
I abandon the magic I've been focusing on and run faster. The last few griffin rebels immediately start drifting downward. As I pass them, sparks and tiny blades fly overhead. I look back again, and finally, there are those guardians I've been expecting. I guess in a place as uneventful as this, it takes guardians a bit longer to get moving than somewhere like Noxum. Though it's hard work in the snow, I push forward with an extra burst of speed.
"Hurry!" Dash shouts. "I'm really struggling here."
I notice then that it's not just the last few griffin rebels descending. The whole line of levitating bodies is slowly heading for the snow. And the shield, "Ah!" I cry out as something burns the back of my right leg. I tell myself to ignore the pain and run. Because clearly Dash's shield is gone, and if I don't get in front of all these floating bodies as quickly as possible, those guardians are going to tear through us with their magic.
I finally reach the front of the line. I pass Dash, snatching the stylus from his hand as I go. Run, 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 damn it. And suddenly, I remember Kala's magic sending us flying several feet across the desert sand and through the Oasis Dome. I don't know what I'm doing, but I imagine sending my magic out and pushing it hard against the ground. With my next step, I'm launched into the air. 1, 2, 3, 4, I land, stumble, and fall onto my knees in the snow. But my shaking hand is already writing across the white, wet substance. A doorway begins to open. Faster, faster, I urge. I look back once more, and Dash is barely a second away. Grab onto someone, he shouts as he leaps past me and into the darkness of the fairy paths, pulling 11 almost touching the ground people behind him. Magic, bright and burning, flashes toward me from the guardians, who are way too close now. I duck down, almost smacking my face into the snow. Then I shuffle closer to the doorway, and as the rebels are about to disappear, I reach out, grab onto someone's leg, and let their momentum yank me into the darkness. Seconds later, I drop out of the paths and land clumsily amid the collection of unconscious bodies. Flip, that was exhausting, Dash gasps. I push myself up and look around, already imagining Aurora's shocked expression at the sight of all these bodies falling out of the fairy paths. But the image that greets me is nothing like the one in my imagination. Imperia, motionless on the ground. Bandit, nowhere to be seen. Aurora, standing frozen with a dagger against her neck. A dagger held by Ada. Chapter 22. My goodness, Ada exclaims, her eyes traveling over the unmoving bodies spread across the grass. Ada, I gasp. Don't hurt. One hand whips forward, and that sticky white substance she gagged me with before flies at my face. This time I manage to duck out of the way. Ada, try to use your voice on me, she hisses, and I'll slice through this girl's throat long before you've finished speaking. Aurora whimpers and squeezes her eyes shut. I don't tell Ada she has nothing to worry about, that my griffin ability won't be able to command a single thing for hours still. How did you find this spot? Dash asks. His hands are steady at his sides, but I notice his fingers nudge ever so slightly at the air. No doubt he's ready to grab guardian weapons the second he gets a chance. Ada smiles. No remarkable feat of tracking magic, if that's what you're wondering. Servants at the manor house saw a dragon fly past. One of them thought he recognized it as one of the palace dragons. He notified the palace. Prince Rourke received the news not too long after that. Then he contacted me and sent me to retrieve his treasonous sister. So here I am. She directs her gaze at me and adds, he didn't realize you'd be here, too. That's a bonus. Although at this point, I'm thinking of just getting rid of you. It's becoming far too much of a pain trying to bring you in. I think we're going to have a problem, then, Dash says. Since I won't be letting you kill M or take... He breaks off, his head turning to the side, as something moves in the air several paces away. A doorway opens, and out step three guardians. Are you kidding me? I mutter, my eyes taking in the woman and two men. It appears we do have a problem, though not the type Dash was referring to. Well, isn't this interesting? Says one of them, a man with flaming ginger hair tempered with a few blonde streaks. It looks exactly like the scene the Seers predicted. The Seers. Crap. I'd totally forgotten about them. My hand clenches around the stylus I'm still holding. My gaze swings to Dash, my eyes asking, how the hell do we get out of this? Well, except for the three dead bodies they saw, the ginger guardian adds. Clearly that hasn't happened yet. My eyes dart away from Dash and across the bodies lying around us. Icy fear wraps around my heart. Which of these people are supposed to die? Three bodies, Ada asks politely. Looks like you've got more than three here. Nah, he answers casually, looking around. These aren't the bodies they saw. There were definitely weapons and blood involved. These people are just stunned, right? Did you do this? His tone suggests he's only mildly interested in the answer, But as he looks at Ada, I notice the hardness in his eyes. I feel the tension underlying this casual exchange. I see the way his hands are poised, just like Dash's, ready to grab weapons or throw magic. This is the calm before the storm, the final moments before everything goes to hell. And suddenly, it all seems so pointless compared to what's going on in the rest of this world and the human one. A waste of time, magic, effort. Anger burns abruptly through my fear. After everything we've been through, breaking into Noxum, our narrow escape from Reinhold, the torture these rebels have endured, the constant effort of having to stay one step ahead of the guild, I want to yell, "Don't we all deserve a freaking break? You're here because some seers predicted this." I snap, taking a step forward. Three pairs of glittering weapons point my way a second later, but I don't even flinch. Wow. Well, flipping done. Just imagine what you guys could achieve if your seers actually saw something useful. Like, I don't know, an unseelie prince taking over the whole of freaking Central Park. The guardian on the left, a white-haired man, advances slowly, his gold arrow trained on me. "Don't you dare yell about things you don't understand. You have no idea of the many visions that came just before the prince attacked Haverton Tower, or about the hundreds of guardians who worked tirelessly to put together the pieces of a giant, incomplete puzzle as they tried to figure out exactly where this massive assault was going to take place." "Hey, Rendell," the third guardian says. "I think we just scored big time. These unconscious guys?" She nods to the nearest body. "They're Griffin rebels. The ones who were at Noxum. And then the head moved somewhere else." "Must have escaped again," the ginger guardian says. "And you," the white-haired man growls at Dash. "I recognize you, traitor." "Hey, what the hell is that?" The woman jumps out of the way of something. Glass. I look around, seeing shards of it everywhere, quietly spreading through the grass. Ada's lips quirk into an amused smile. Her blade presses harder against Aurora's neck. "The glass fairy," Ginger says. His eyes lock onto Ada. "Get her!" And the storm hits. Flashes of magic, explosions of glass, the shimmering of shields appearing here and there. Ada tosses Aurora aside and throws all her effort into attacking the nearest guardian. And it's all happening right here among the unconscious rebels. "Get down!" Dash yells at me, his hand sweeping through the air. An invisible force knocks me onto my knees as a glittering knife flies over my head. I need to use my hands, so I shove my stylus as far as it will go into the front pocket of my pants. Everywhere I look, I see the glinting of glass. "No, damn it! Stop!" I gasp, focusing furiously on drawing raw magic out of myself and throwing it at any glass that gets too close to the rebels. I'm not exactly quick, but at least my magic manages to halt and melt each trail of splinters it hits. The melted glass glows for a few moments before vanishing. Ada doesn't seem to be sending any more glass this way while she's fighting two guardians, but somehow there's still plenty of her glass moving around from her sneaky attack before the fighting began. "Em, I told you to... Ugh, stay down," Dash grunts. Metal clangs against metal as his sword meets the two crossed daggers the guardian woman is fighting with. "I'm stopping the glass," I shout back. I crawl a short distance away from him, so I'm not in his way. I'm close to Vi and Rin now, making sure nothing gets anywhere near them. My eyes dart everywhere, searching for glass my magic has melted yet. Concentrating intently on pulling magic from my core, I manage to stop another few splinter trails. I start to think that I finally got it all when I see the glass on the other side of Violet's body, heading straight for her outstretched arm. "No, no, no, stop!" I gasp, throwing myself across her in my effort to stop the glass before it reaches her. My hand is inches from the splinters when my magic finally flashes out, striking the glass and melting it. "You're okay," I say to Violet, though it's really myself I'm reassuring. "You're okay. You're both okay." "Em!" Aurora shouts. I look up, see the glittering arrow, and then feel myself yanked roughly to the side. Aurora's magic drags me closer to Imperia. She pulls me over the dragon's back foot and into the gap between her leg and belly.
"What are you doing in the middle of all the fighting?" she demands.
"Trying to help," I tell her, pushing myself up and looking over Imperia's leg to see where the arrow landed.
"Damn it, Rora. There's an arrow in Rin's leg now. Better than it being in your chest," she answers.
"You're welcome."
"I'm sorry. I'm just..." I push both hands into my hair and grip the sides of my head. "I'm freaking out. I finally got them back. Vi and Rin... And now..."
"Hey, it's gonna be fine. Why haven't you used your ability, though? Is it finished?"
"I used it all up at Reinhold." I look up at the blue-green scales above me. "Is Imperia... She's okay, just stunned. This Ada woman must have gathered an enormous amount of power before she arrived here. Then hopefully she isn't quite as strong as she usually is. Those two guardians seem to be keeping her busy. At least Dash only has to fight one person, but we can help him."
"What?"
Aurora shakes her head. "Em, we can't fight. Not like these people. We can throw magic from here. Nothing fancy, just the basic stuff. Or, where's the backpack? You can shoot arrows. You're really good. You can take out those guardians from here. It's... I don't know." She rises a little and looks around. "It's on the other side of Imperia's leg." With a wave of her hand, the backpack comes sailing over and lands in my lap. I tug it open immediately and turn it upside down. "There's the bow. And the quiver must be here somewhere. I've got knives in my jacket and, yeah, I'll enlarge a sword, just in case anyone tries to get too close to us." I pick up the first sword I see and point it up into the air as I enlarge it, so it doesn't stab either of us in this small space we're huddled in. "Quickly, quickly, quickly," Aurora mutters as the bow expands in her hand. I lower the sword to the ground as she enlarges the quiver of arrows. Then I pull a knife from inside my jacket and look over Imperia's leg again. "What am I thinking?" I mutter to myself as I watch the Guardians, Dash, and Ada lunge back and forth amid sparks and other forms of magic. "I'll never hit a moving target with a knife." "Use your magic instead," Aurora says as she fits an arrow against the bowstring. She aims over Imperia's leg and whispers, "I can do this. I can do this." But she doesn't let the arrow go. After another few moments, as I'm about to ask what's taking so long, she releases the arrow. It soars past everyone and strikes a palm tree. We duck down immediately. "That's exactly what I was hoping would not happen," she mutters. "Don't want to irritate the guardians and bring them running over here." I risk a glance over the top of Imperia's leg. "Damn it, one of them's coming this way now. The guy with the white hair." "Seriously? Crap. No, why is he stopping by Vi and Rin?" I scramble to my feet, but Aurora tugs me back down. "Don't be stupid," she hisses. "Get another arrow. Be ready to stop him if..."
"These are the leaders, aren't they?"
the white-haired guardian shouts, pointing his sword at Violet and Rin.
"They're the ones who were caught first, the ones who used to be guardians."
He makes a disgusting sound at the back of his throat and spits on Rin. I drop my knife, grab the sword, and try to launch myself over Imperia's leg.
"You filthy piece of M!"
Aurora clings tightly to my arm, holding me back.
"Leave them," the ginger guardian shouts to the white-haired one. "Why?" he demands. "These rebels are a gigantic pain in everyone's ass. It's time to get rid of them for good. We'll all be better off."
"Loxen, don't!" Ginger shouts.
"No!" I gasp, finally tugging free of Aurora's grip and swinging myself over Imperia's leg. But it's too late. Loxen lifts his sword, point down, and plunges it straight into Rin's chest where his heart is. My gasp is stuck in my throat. I can't move. I can barely breathe. Dash tackles Loxen before the guardian can hurt anyone else. Just behind them, Ada catches hold of Ginger's wrist, and he turns to glass a moment later. Then her eyes meet mine. Without looking away, she bends and picks up her dagger. A smile twists her lips as she takes a step forward. I lunge away from Imperia, but I'm too far away, and as Ada drives the dagger down into Violet's chest, I finally find my voice and scream. I scream and scream, and my throat is raw, and somehow I can't hear any of it. Sound is gone, time is slowed down, and I can't look away from the horrific sight. Violet and Rin, dead. The gleaming blades protruding from their chests. My parents, whom I'll never get to know. My family, shattered. Abruptly, time speeds up.
Aurora is beside me, trying to pull me somewhere. Ada is crossing the grass toward me. Behind her, Dash yells something as he swings a glittering blade at both remaining guardians. And somehow, in my shocked state, none of it quite makes sense. And then, Ada's right in front of us, grabbing hold of Aurora. She tugs her away from me and brings a blade flashing down toward Aurora's throat.
No!
I yell, my limbs coming to life. I kick Aurora as hard as I can, sending her flying out of the way. Ada's blade sweeps harmlessly through the air.
You little troll, she hisses at me.
You monster, I scream at her. She raises both fists, and glass shards spin in deadly circles around them.
You should never have told me they were your parents.
She pulls one fist back, but I raise my sword over my shoulder and swing it down with all my might. The blade slices through air, through flesh, through the person I've loved my whole life.
Em!
I ignore the voice. I watch Ada's body drop to the ground, her head barely still attached to her body, and blood. So much blood. It's a hideous horror movie moment that doesn't feel real. Open mouth, unblinking eyes, blood, blood, and more blood. It's hard to kill a fairy. That's what everyone says, but Ada didn't survive this. I can see already that she's gone. And I can't help thinking it wasn't that hard at all. Then, the reality strikes me. I killed someone. I killed Ada, Danny. The woman I believed for years was my mother.
Em!
Someone shouts. Finally, I look up. I see Calla on the other side of the fighting, and the unconscious bodies running toward me. I don't know how much she saw. I don't know how she knew to come here. But I don't care. All I know is that she'll stop me from what I want to do next. And I'm done with her stopping me. Single-minded rage consumes me as I pull my stylus from my front pocket. I walk to the closest palm tree. With shaking fingers, I write a doorway spell against it. Then I walk into the darkness and don't look back.
Part 3. Chapter 23. I need power. I need my griffin ability, and there's only one way I can think of right now to get it. My hands shake, and unshed tears sting behind my eyes as I stride out of the fairy paths and into the desert heat. I walk forward, gripping my stylus and sword more tightly as I try to stop the shaking. My throat hurts from forcing the tears back. The ache in my chest is so real, I think my body might actually cave in on itself. Don't think. Just move. I force my body into autopilot mode. Through the dome layer, across the grass, aim for the tree, up and up and up all the stairs past Vi and Rin's house. Don't think, don't think, don't think. But it's nearly impossible not to think of them. I almost break down completely as I look at their house built across two huge branches, the home they'll never come back to. But I force myself to carry on, further up the tree. I walk into my own little house. I head for the bedside table, open the drawer, and find the two full vials of elixir. I never actually needed any of it when practicing control over my ability, so, of course, I forgot all about it. Holding my stylus and sword together in one hand, I lift a vial, flick the stopper off, and pour the whole lot down my throat. It takes until I reach the door for the effects of that much elixir. Hit me. My griffin ability races through my body with sudden, unexpected speed. The usual ripple up my spine is now a shiver that shudders through my whole body. Dizziness tips me against the wall beside the door, and I press one hand against it, gritting my teeth and clinging to my power so I don't lose it. As the room stops spinning, I breathe in deeply. I sense my griffin magic humming just below the surface of my control, longing to be set free. Perhaps I shouldn't have drunk that much elixir. Perhaps it was dangerous, but as long as it worked, I can't bring myself to care. I walked past their house again. Don't think of them. Out of the oasis and back into the scorching heat. I tell myself I'm not falling apart, but as I open a doorway, a shuddering breath rips through me.
I bite down on my lip as I hurry into the paths and picture a forest I've been in before. Pain weighs me down as I stagger out of the darkness and onto the dappled forest floor of Creepy Hollow. I have no idea if I'm anywhere near the guild, but it doesn't matter. When I'm ready, the fairy paths will take me straight there. What I need right now is to keep myself from breaking apart. I need to focus on the rage instead of the agony and horror. But it's almost impossible. No matter where I look, I can't escape the image of a dead Rin and a dead Violet, a dead Ada, with her head almost completely detached. I turn my face toward the sky and open my mouth. The cry I let loose comes from somewhere deep inside me, carrying with it every aching emotion threatening to crush me. I scream until I have no breath left, until my chest is so tight I almost can't feel the pain anymore. Almost. It's only when I finally stop, gasp for air, and lower my gaze that I discover I'm not alone. A winged creature about the size of my hand hovers in front of me. Its small green body is human-like, and its wings are transparent and delicate, mostly silver, with a few bright spots of neon green. Before I can say a word, the creature changes. It expands, drops through the air, and on the ground stands a dragon small enough to fit in the space between the trees. An instant later, it shifts again, becoming what looks like a large dog. Shaggy hair in tones of russet and copper cover its body. "Bandit," I whisper, knowing it's him without having to ask. In a wobbly voice, I add, "You follow me everywhere." I don't know if he understood what happened to Vi and Rin and Ada, but it seems to me that his beautiful gold-flecked eyes are sadder than any eyes I've ever looked into. He walks over and nudges his head against my hand, and that one simple gesture almost breaks me completely. I long to sink against his warm body and cry my heart out, but I refuse to give in to the pain. I won't cry. I won't break. I won't let go of the anger driving me forward. If I let go of it, I might change my mind. And that is the last thing I want to do. So I breathe in deeply and tighten my grip on the sword. I don't bother telling Bandit what to do or where to go, because he'll stay with me anyway, in some tiny form I can't see. I raise my stylus and lean my hand against a tree trunk as I write across it. Then I grip my teeth and step into the fairy paths. Standing at the edge of the darkness, a heartbeat away from embracing the hatred that's built up inside me, I pause. For one brief moment, I hear Kala's voice in the back of my mind. "You can't take away their free will. That isn't right." I mentally stamp her voice down. To hell with what's right and what isn't. The guild clearly doesn't care about what's right. How many griffin-gifted lives have they ruined? How many families? "Too many," I answer myself, "and mine will be the last." With that thought, I march forward into the black emptiness of the paths, shoving the stylus back into my jacket. My mind is trained firmly on an image of that small, nondescript room through which people arrive at the guild. I walk forward, seeing nothing, hearing nothing. Then, up ahead of me, dim light appears in the darkness. I head straight for it. I step into the room, where one guard sits behind a desk, and another stands beside the doorway, leading to the grand and impressive main foyer. At first, the two men seem almost bored. Then, as their eyes land on the sword in my hand, they frown. I suppose if I belonged here, I'd have no need for real weapons. I would use only the sparkly gold type that appear and disappear at will. The guard behind the desk stands. "Markings or pendant?" he asks. "I need to scan you before..." "Get down. Stay down and don't make a sound," I command them, my magically enhanced voice resounding throughout the small room. Both guards are knocked instantly to the floor, and there they lie. Not dead, not even passed out, but silent and frozen as their eyes dart about. I lift the sword, rest the blade on my shoulder, and walk beneath the doorway to face the people who've been screwing with my life since the moment I got to this world. An alarm goes off immediately, the alarm indicating that someone with a griffin ability has just entered this guild. I don't give a damn. It's not like I was planning to sneak in unnoticed. But the noise is almost deafening, so I tell it to shut the hell up. guardians going about their daily tasks spring into action all around me. As they rush toward me, I raise my voice and unleash all my fury as I yell my command. Every single person inside this guild, get down on the floor and stay there! My voice echoes throughout the enormous circular room as men, women, and a few younger trainees drop to the floor all around me. Their panicked voices fill the air, so I add, and keep quiet. I stalk past them and up the grand stairway, where two guardians have collapsed about halfway up the stairs. At the top, I turn and look down. I should be seeing the men and women sprawled across the floor, but my mind overlays the scene with another image, an image of two bodies, each pinned to the earth with a blade. Tears squeeze from my eyes as I scream, "You will never, ever hurt a single griffin-gifted fey again! You will not lock them up. You will not tag them. You will not force them to add their names to a public registry. And you most definitely will not experiment on them. And you will repeat these words to any other guardian you come across." When I'm done, I don't move. I grip the carved wooden banister with one hand and stand there, my breathing ragged. I've done what I came here to do. I don't know what I expected to feel at this point, but I don't think I wanted to feel worse. My gaze travels from person to person, refusing to think about whether any of them might actually be against the guild's policy on griffin abilities. I need to hate them all. If I can't, then I'll end up thinking of how much I hate myself instead. I'll think of the blood spilling from Ada's neck, from Danny's neck. She was an unwillingly participant in everything Ada did, and she died for it. I killed her. And now, I'll never know if it might have been possible to free her from their body. I'll never get the chance to fix the mistake I made in forcing Ada and Danny to rejoin. I'll never really know the woman I called Mom for so many years. Slowly, I lower myself onto the top step, feeling more tears coming. I place the sword on the floor beside me, and notice suddenly that partially dried blood still coats the blade. Horrified, I kick the sword away from me. Why the hell did I even bring it with? Probably because it was in my hand when I ran away from... I turn my head to the side, blinking tears away as I try not to see their dead bodies yet again. Rin, Vi, Danny. I don't know how long I sit there, holding the baluster and watching the foyer as tears stream silently down my cheeks. Hours, I think. Whenever anyone else enters the guild, I tell them the same thing. Get down on the floor, don't move, and don't make a sound. At this point, I have no other plan. I know I'll have to leave soon, though, before the other guilds find out what's happened here and storm in with too many guardians for me to command. And I don't want them withdrawing guardians who are busy fighting Rourke in the human world, or the human soldiers in this world. That's not why I came here. But right now, I can't bring myself to move. I can't bring myself to think about where I should go. I doubt I'll be welcome at the Griffin Rebels' safe haven. The remainder of my family will never forgive me for what I've done to these guardians. "This isn't the way we get things done," Kala said. "This is who the guild thinks we are, but we have to prove them wrong." Well, I definitely screwed that up. It was worth it, though. The guild might hate us forever, but at least they'll get rid of their griffin registry and their tagging system and their experiments. And I suppose I can throw in a command about them liking griffin gifted instead of hating them on my way out. And then I'll go after Rourke. If I can bring an entire guild to its knees, I should be able to stop an unseelie prince. And now, I don't have anyone holding me back, telling me how dangerous it is. Eventually, I pull myself to my feet. Beneath the ache in my chest, I feel empty. There's nothing there. The hope I've been clinging to, the promise of a happy future with a family that isn't broken, has vanished into a black hole. I don't know why I'm so shocked. Haven't I always known that this is the way the world works? Life's a bitch, and then you die. I just haven't got to the dying part yet. I plod downstairs, one step at a time, staring at my dirty boots with my eyes burning and raw. I don't want to look at anyone. I don't want to see their fear or hatred and end up drowning in my own guilt. These people deserve this, I remind myself. The way they treated Griffin Gifted Fae was unacceptable. They destroyed my family. They probably destroyed countless other families. I stop then, about halfway down the stairs, hearing something odd. Something like the crackle of electricity. The air feels different all of a sudden, like the charged quiet before a storm. I take another step, and that's when I see a man standing in the doorway to the foyer. A man I recognize. Chase. Chapter 24. Chase steps through the doorway, and that damn siren goes off again. I tell it to break. I tell it to never make a noise again. In the eerie silence that follows, I let out a bitter laugh. Have you been sent to bring me in? Is Calla so disgusted by what I did that she can't face me herself? His eyes travel across the foyer. What have you done, Em? My heart breaks just a little bit more at the sight of the shock on his face. I knew he and Calla wouldn't condone this, but it's worse seeing his reaction in real life. No more than they deserve, I tell him. He looks at me, and his eyes are as sad as bandits were out in the forest earlier. Then suddenly, inexplicably, it begins to snow. Within seconds, there's so much snow I can hardly see the stairs in front of me. I realize it's Chase who's doing this. But the next thing I know, my feet are leaving the stairs and I'm flying through endless white. Wind whips at my face. I try to speak to command something, but the wind snatches my air away so quickly I can barely breathe. Suddenly, darkness surrounds me. But it only lasts seconds before the white storm tosses me through the air again. Then, my feet are on solid ground. The wind dies down, the snow vanishes, and I stumble across the forest floor, breathing heavily. What the hell? With one hand pressed against my chest, I turn and find Chase behind me. Was that a blizzard? He grabs hold of both my shoulders and looks directly into my eyes. We're out here because we need to have a private conversation without 100 frozen guardians listening in, Em. You cannot use your power on people like this. I shove his hands away. You gigantic hypocrite. You just used your power on me. Emerson, this is serious, he exclaims, his eyes wide. You need to go back there and undo whatever you've done. Oh, so you can tell me what to do, but I can't tell them what to do? Because what you're doing is wrong. What they've been doing is wrong, I yell back, jabbing my hand toward the right, though I have absolutely no idea which direction the guild is actually in. That doesn't matter. You're not in charge of anyone else's actions. You control your own, and that's it. I do my best to swallow my anger so I can sound reasonable. Chase, they are going to track down people like us forever. You know that because you've been part of this world far longer than I have. That stuff at Reinhold, that's going to keep happening unless someone stops them. No, it's going to keep happening unless they decide for themselves that they need to stop. And what's going to make them decide something like that simply out of the blue? I demand, throwing my hands up. Change is coming. It's slow, but it's coming. Those guardians who rescued you from... It's coming? Well, guess what? It's too damn late for us, isn't it? My voice breaks halfway through, and my last few words come out sounding like a gasp as I struggle to hold back tears. And even if we don't count today... They tried to kill me when I first arrived in this world. Do you remember that? I know you weren't there, but someone must have told you. Do you have any idea what that's like? Actually, yes. Oh, fantastic. Is this the part where you tell me that you understand me? That making rainbows and snow and wind somehow compares to the kind of power I was trying to figure out when I first discovered my magic? Yes. That is what I'm telling you. I came from the human world, too. I also had no idea what I was, and then I discovered I had incredible power. More power than any normal fairy. Power that people are afraid of. You and I, Em, are a lot more alike than you know. I don't have to listen to this, I mutter, turning away. I should be somewhere far from here, mourning Vi, Rin, and Danny. Or planning how to get close to Rourke, not discussing Chase's silly little weather ability, and arguing about the things I've done, the things I refuse to regret. The only difference, Em, Chase calls after me, is that you have a group of people, a family, that will do anything for you. You're not alone like I was, and hopefully that will keep you from choosing the wrong path the way I did. The fact that he's mentioning family, our broken family, that will never be whole again, makes me want to hit him. I spin back around to face him.
I killed someone today, I yell. So I'm sorry to have to tell you, but I think I'm on the wrong path already. And it wasn't just anyone that I killed. It was someone I've loved my whole life, someone I should have been able to save. Is that anything like the wrong path you chose?
No, he says quietly. What I did was far, far worse than that. I shake my head, turn around, and start walking. I'm not interested in this discussion anymore. And if you keep doing the kind of thing you did at the guild today, Chase continues, you're going to end up exactly where I was nearly 30 years ago, and that is not a position you want to be in. I don't look back. I don't care what position he was in. I don't care about anything anymore. Emerson, he calls after me. Have you heard of Lord Draven? I almost don't respond, but in the end I stop. I look over my shoulder and say, of course I've heard of him. What the hell does a dead overlord have to do with anything? A beat of silence passes before he says, you're looking at him. I blink. Few things could distract me from the deaths of the people I care about, but this is one of them. I turn to face him fully as a shiver of uncertainty, of fear, passes through me. You're lying. Lord Draven died years ago. No. Chase walks slowly toward me. Calla projected an illusion onto an island full of people, and everyone believed I died. As he speaks, I remember Calla saying something about an illusion she did in order to stage someone's death, someone the guild would never stop hunting. But I can't bring myself to believe that it was Lord Draven she was talking about. Calla wouldn't do that, I say, a slight tremor to my voice. She's honorable and decent and good. All the things I'm turning out not to be. She would never save an evil dictator responsible for loads of death and destruction. Someone who brainwashed thousands and covered the world in winter, I realize. That's Chase's Griffin ability. Control over the weather. Only I never knew just how powerful it was. I never connected it to the terrifying magical storms people mention when they speak of Lord Draven. You're right, Chase says, and he's close enough now for me to see the infinite sadness in his eyes. Calla wouldn't have saved that person. Good thing I stopped being him a long time before she met me. I take a shaky step back, my boots snapping twigs and brushing against leaves. The sound is too loud all of a sudden, as if the rest of the forest has become quiet enough to listen in on our conversation, as if all the creatures here can sense Chase's power, as if they're bracing themselves for whatever comes next. I'm trying to help you understand the seriousness of your situation, Em, Chase says. He stops a few paces away and doesn't come any closer. You only controlled a single guild today. But what about next time? What happens next time you believe you're right and another group of people is wrong, and you control them too? What if you get to the point where you decide you need to control every guild? You know you'll need to control the Seelies then too, right? And then you may as well control the Unseelies as well. After all, the things they do are wrong. And you want to stop the things in the world that are wrong. No, do you see where I'm going with this, Em? No, I would never go that far. I'm nothing like you. You're evil. I'm not. I've done terrible things, but I'm not that person anymore. I haven't been that person for a very long time. And way back in the beginning, I wasn't Lord Draven then either. But it all has to start somewhere. For you, Em, it could be starting right now. Or you could undo what you've done. You could choose differently. I take another fumbling step back. If he really is who he says he is, then I need to get far away from him. I clench my fists, open my mouth, and let power flood into my voice. "Don't follow." His hand twitches. A powerful gust of air almost knocks me down, sucking my words away from me as it goes by. "Please don't do this," he says. "I don't want to fight you. Get down," I shout at him. And as he hits the ground, birds screech and take flight from the trees above us. "Tell me the truth," I command him. "Are you Lord Draven?"
"I was,"
he grunts as he struggles to lift himself from the ground. "I'm not anymore." "You will not." A second blast of wind rushes by, and this one lifts me off my feet. Icy white flakes whip around me, spinning and spinning, tossing me in circles before I land on my hands and knees on the ground. "How dare you?" I gasp, my fingers digging into the leaves and dirt. "Emerson, you will never leave this forest. Your magic will not..." Lightning strikes right beside me. I shriek and cover my head. The ground shudders, and the crackling boom that rips through the air at the same moment almost deafens me.
"I'm not your enemy!"
Chase yells through gritted teeth as the echo of thunder fades away and rain beats down around us.
"Stop fighting me!
You cannot use your griffin ability," I command shakily as I climb to my feet. "You can't use any magic. You can't even speak. You can't use your hands or your feet or your mind. You can't do anything." Finally, he stops struggling and collapses onto his back as the rain stops. His limbs lie useless at his sides. His mouth is open and slack, and his chest twitches. This is Lord Draven, and yet he's not Lord Draven anymore. "You can't do anything." My words play back at me as I stand there with shaking hands and shuddering breath. Has my command made it so he can't even breathe? Does it mean his heart can't beat? Has he become brain dead? His chest twitches less regularly. He's almost completely still now. My heart whacks painfully against my ribcage as I consider the fact that he might be dying. And I'm just standing here watching. I'm about to kill a second person. What the freaking hell is wrong with me? "I'm sorry," I gasp, shoving my hands into my hair and tugging at it. "Stop! Stop everything I said to Chase! He can breathe, he can use magic, he's normal and healthy and alive!" For several horrifying moments, he doesn't move at all. Then, his chest slowly rises, his eyes blink, and he moves his head to look at me. And at that point, everything crushes down on me with an unbearable weight. I drop to my knees, my heart finally cracking open entirely. A great sob wrenches free of me as my vision becomes so blurred I can hardly see a thing. Leftover rain drips from the leaves above. It falls onto my cheeks, mingling with my tears. A few feet away, Chase sits up.
"I just never wanted any of this," I sob.
I press my hands over my face, but it doesn't stop the tears.
"All I wanted was a family and to be happy. And now they're dead."
He pulls himself closer to me.
"What do you mean by they? I thought it was only Daniela."
I lower my hands and stare at him in disbelief. "Violet and Rin.
Violet and Rin. They're dead. They were murdered."
Chase shakes his head, his eyes wide.
"No, they're not. They were both stabbed, but they're fairies. They can survive a great deal."
"They were stabbed straight through their hearts? Are you telling me they can survive that?"
"Yes," he says simply, as if I should know this.
I scramble away from him, shaking my head and sniffling.
"Stop it. Stop lying. I saw them. They weren't breathing at all. They were dead."
"I know it might have looked that way, but as long as those blades were removed before all magic vanished from their bodies, then their magic would be able to heal them."
I stare at him, hardly daring to believe his words.
"That's...
actually possible?
Yes, that's the way it works. Magic assists in the body's healing process, so if some object is in the way, like a sword or an arrow through the heart, then the magic keeps trying until eventually it's completely depleted. The more injuries a person has, the less time it will take to deplete their magic. But Vi and Rin had minimal injuries, aside from the blade.